you're able to stand for the hearing and reading of God's infallible word, if it comes to us today from the Gospel of St. John, the 15th chapter, and it is verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. May the Lord bless us with the hearing of this, his holy word. Amen. You know, I have to praise God for the many blessings he's given to me in my life. And I want to thank him for my parents and all the word that I received in the little congregational church in the mountains of East Tennessee where I first heard the gospel and was enabled to believe. To all of those saints that have guided me. And one of the things that I want to thank God for is yesterday they got, you know, yesterday was a kind of a mixed emotion day, you know, for me. Two of my alma maters were playing each other. So I knew that I'd be happy for one and sad for the other. And the one that lost was East Tennessee State University, and they, then man, did they lose. But things, you know, we put too much importance on those. But one of the things I like to thank God for was moving me to the place where I took my university studies there. And, you know, you're sending your children off to the universities, and most of you are wasting your money in terms of education. Because most of the universities in the United States today need to be charged with educational malpractice. Because young people are going off to school today. Now, don't tell me I'm not correct. I read a lot. I read all the time. In fact, Elizabeth says, are you listening to me or are you reading something? And usually, honey, I confess I'm not listening. But I hear the important things, though. Gerald, it's time to eat. But the point is, though, that I believe a minister's obligation is to be well informed. And I know what I'm talking about. A recent study of the top major universities in the United States said that the presence of progressives, if we use that term, compared to traditionalists was over 90%. In fact, it came above 95%, dominated by progressive thinkers. Now, let me tell you about progressivism. Progressivism is finally starting to realize itself. I know its history. I know where it came from. I know when it came into America and when it really seized hold of the, not only the political environment. We rant and rave about what's going on in politics, you know. And you ought to, you know. We're no longer a governed people. We're a ruled people now. But the dominant viewpoint in the universities, I mean extremely dominant, is the outlook of progressivism, which is really socialism. This country is being pushed by a very influential factor away from its capitalistic foundations. Now, capitalism can be evil too. When politicians use their office and they say, well, I'm conservative, to enrich themselves, that's evil, period. But what I'm saying is that the understanding of people today in our culture is being shaped by people who have had a limited exposure to ways of thinking other than what they hear. It's like the Soviets used to brainwash people. Our culture is becoming brainwashed. And the heart of those people is not to unify America initially. They're not ready for that. But it is to divide America. One race is encouraged to dislike the other. Now, that's happened previously in our history. Thank God the gospel, I think, addressed that. But one race or another is being encouraged to hate each other. Gender-wise, they have created a war between men and women. Some of you all may have bought into that. Some of you men may have bought into that. Some of you women may have been bought. And we could go again between the rich and the poor. Hatred has developed. And they intentionally accentuate those problems, not looking to unify people, but to divide them. Because as President Lincoln said, quoting scripture, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Dr. Martin Luther King, I think, was one of the greatest men that ever walked American soil. And he spoke God's truth when he said about his little children in Alabama. That is the height of the civil rights struggle, and it was a correct struggle and a noble struggle at that point. He says, I hope the day comes that my little girls growing up in Alabama will be judged by the quality of their character rather than the color of their skin. That's Jesus' view, incidentally. Believers should not care what color a person's skin is. You know that? They only ought to look at the heart. But today I have to honestly say that there are elements in our society that are reattempting to create division. I have African American friends, Japanese friends, Chinese friends, Filipino friends, Indian friends that are closer to me than some of my own family. I love them with all my heart. I admire them. Great admiration. You need to be aware of this. There is a consistent effort, though, in many quarters of our culture to create an atmosphere not of love and unity, but of hatred and division. That's what's going on much of the news, if you watch. And some of those people are actors in a process that they don't have a clue what it's all about. We're going to start the Gospel of John tonight. The Gospel of John of the Gospels. The other Gospels are primarily narrative in form. You know what it means? They're primarily share the gospel through telling the story of Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. We need to hear that story. But John's a bit different. You remember John was closest of all the disciples personally to Jesus. John's different. John is the theologian among the writers of the gospel. He tells the story, but he reveals to us much of what is behind the story. And you all are going to learn tonight that John has a birth story and John has a creation story, and it's different than the approach that the other writers of the gospel share us, and it's all works together. It's one cloth, of course. But John goes back to Genesis. In the beginning. That's how he begins his gospel. In the beginning. How does the book of Genesis begin? In the beginning. And if we understand creation, when God looked at the nothingness, he created order out of what? Chaos. Order out of chaos. And you see, that's what God always does. God creates unity and order if we look unto him. But what does the devil create? Maybe you are sleeping. Disorder. Chaos. You know, look at your own life. You look at your marriage. You look at your relationship to children. The devil wants chaos there, and he wants chaos in every nation of the world, as the United States included. And the division and the chaos and those that promote it in America are not the servants of God. They are servants of the devil. And specific groups by those who want chaos have picked out different sections of society. And today I want to address one group that is coming under unfair, distorted presentations and criticism. And that is the law officers of this nation. Now, in today's text, Jesus has reference, of course, to himself laying down his life for his friends. But that is a noble imitation of the Lord for any who do it. And the police officers of this nation are being presented as Nazis, as racist, as hate mongers. Any derogatory term that you want to put on it. And I want to say that in any police officer, and we've got some great noble men and women in this church of law enforcement, any police officer will tell you, yes, there are bad apples in the barrel. You know, I've been a preacher for 50 years. And I bet Brother Rich could affirm, there are even some bad apples in the preacher barrel. Did you know that? But I will say of the police officers that I have known, and incidentally, I've been on the receiving end, you know. I've been pulled over by Afro-American policemen, Japanese policemen, Caucasian policemen. Does that shock you? My first ticket, first I ever got, I was coming back to Lakeview from my place in Tennessee, because Roy Lee Cobb had given me about $5,000 worth of farm equipment that he wasn't going to use anymore, and he knew I was poor as Job's turkey and never be able to buy it. And I'd gotten a trailer and my Ford truck, and I was coming over the mountain to get it. And I was coming up the highway there from Mountain City to Boone. And if any of you have ever ridden that road, it bends and twists and turns. And that was back in the days where there were any passing zones. And I had a limited time to get up here and get back on the same day. And I'm coming along, and I get behind this guy, and he's pulling a homemade snowball wagon going to some fair or something. And he's got clowns painted all over it. And I told my wife and sons, I said, you know, I'm never going to make the schedule if I stay behind this guy and there's nothing but double lines down the lane. So I peeped around the corner looking down the left side. I says, I am going to pass this clown. And I flew around him. Just as I got around, because he's blocking my way, just as I got around him up the road, there sits a Tennessee State Trooper in front of a country store, and he flips the light on. And I pulled in, and he was the nicest man. He invited me to come up and sit in his squad car. And we were talking, I started talking about deer hunting, hoping I'd get his mind redirected, And so I finally come to life and said, well, I've never had a ticket in my life. And he said, well, after today, you won't be able to say that. $187, I'll never, you know, as stingy as I am, you remember those things. But he was nothing but cordial, and he was just doing his job. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the stories. But every time, and I've only had two tickets in my life. Well, I had one, and it got dismissed. But I've only had two in my life, and I've been driving longer than most of you all been alive. But the point is, my experience with police officers, while negative in one sense, overall has been very positive. And let me tell you about the men and women of this church and of my previous churches that I have gotten to know that were in law enforcement. They have been some of the kindest, some of the most concerned. May I use the word loving? People I have known. And while they enforce the law, I have never met any who enforced it with bitterness. They outshine me in that way. We have two officers in this church. When I first came, this person was distorted in his understanding. He was anxious. He was fearful. He was confused. And these two officers went outside here, and they talked to him, and they helped him get a grasp on things. And he began to come to church here. He's since moved away. But these men, they did a better job than I could have done. And this man told me the last time I saw him, he said, those two boys, they're not boys, you know, they're older guys, but when you're his age, like me, everybody's a boy. And he said, those guys and that church made me feel love like I've never felt love before. Bobby and Janet were over at our house, two, 3 years ago now. Sitting out on the front porch. Just got a new screen porch, and we were sitting out there on that front. We sit out there all the time. The dog and cat sits out there more than I do, but we sit out there all the time. And there was a squealing of brakes. And these men threw this woman, who was drunk, out of the car. And I wouldn't have seen it if they hadn't seen it. And I went over, and she was laying. It was starting to get cool. She was laying behind Mr. Smith's door over here. Would have probably laid there all night and perhaps frozen. And we called the sheriff's office, and I told the sheriff about this. I was having breakfast, and him and some of the officers of our church were having it at Western Steakhouse. And I went over, and I said, I want to thank you for this man. And I told him the situation. Oh, he went over there and helped her up, and she had to go to the bathroom. I said, well, come to the church. And he took her over, and he began to talk to her about her life and about all she was going through. And she was weeping about what had happened to her and where her life had been. And he was just as gracious as any minister could ever thought about being, and very, very direct. And he said to her at the end, she was crying about going to jail. He said, you're not going to jail. I'm going to take you to your mama. Well, when you watch television and all those people walking the streets and saying such hateful things about officers, most of which those charges have been dropped, incidentally, as they talk about on television. That is not the true picture of who our officers are. Understand that as an effort to undermine the public confidence and respect for those officers. One of my best friends is with the Lord now, was a North Carolina Highway Patrolman who had a major ministry in the area where he worked. He probably would have gotten in trouble if some had known about it, but he took care of people who had broken the law and guided many, many of them into a new life. Almost lost his life twice doing a blood and organ run back when they had to do it. Have drunks twice hit him head on coming around a mountain curve. Elizabeth and I pray for the policeman. And if we get a chance, you know, they're not allowed for you to do that, but if they don't know who did it, it's all right. When you get a chance, we often say to the waitress, and I'm, you know how stingy I am, buddy. Scotch on both sides. Bring us his ticket. And tell him that it was paid for by somebody who is thankful for the work they do. Any woman or man married to a police officer, they walk out that door every time and there's anxiety in their hearts. And even more so now when hatred of the law enforcement is being encouraged in the media and other places. You see, when I walk out the door, Elizabeth knows I'm not walking into a situation where people have been encouraged to hate me. Although some of you might, I don't know. But those who are married to peace officers, that's what my father always called policemen. That's what they are. Don't call them cops. He'd bust my hind end for saying that. They're peace officers. They ensure the peace and well-being of the innocent and the guilty when they can. What was it Jesus said? Blessed are the peacemakers. Did he not say that? But when they walk out the door, their spouses worry. I wanted to take this Sunday nearest 9/11 date to give words of defense for our peace officers. And my personal words, and I'm sure that many of you share the same, my personal words of appreciation. For often you are the only ones that stand between the satanic work of chaos and order. And I found this about the police officers I've known well. They love people. I know what I'm talking about. People say, Gerald, sometimes you seem arrogant. I'm not arrogant. Some people who don't know what they talk about are talking about, and those of us who do perceive us as arrogant. There's a difference. I know what I'm talking about. That the men and women of law enforcement do what they do because they love us. And they even rush to help and defend those who do not love them. Do you know that? So to our police officers, today, I want to thank you. And I can say, I think, with assurance, that the vast majority of your citizenry appreciate you. But I want you and I to remember, whether it was those officers and firemen rushing in to those towers, they had families, they had children they loved, they had everything you and I have, were not concerned for themselves before they were concerned for those in need. And our own officers, listen, I pray every time one of your all sirens goes down the road, she'll pray, God protect him. God protect this police officer. She does that. She'll do it in a restaurant if one goes by. Thank you, honey. And I pray for you. Because with the same spirit with which those men rushed into that burning building, and they are heroes. Every day in Alamance County, there are heroes who rush into dangerous situations to bring, if they are able, peace and order. Greater love has no man than this, but that he would lay down his life for his friends. Remember, those peace officers are there for you and for your well-being. They are not Nazis. They are not mean people. For the most part, I would say 95% of them are good, loving, kind, and gracious people who do what they do for the public's well-being. And these damnable liars at Duke University and North Carolina and all those other places that are trying to teach young people otherwise, they are advocates of chaos and disorder. Their agenda is not your well-being, not the well-being of America, but the socialistic ideology that is being pushed. And let me tell you about socialists real quick and I'll shut up. Socialists do not care about you. They do not respect the individual. They do not respect the individual's property rights. They don't respect anything that decent and common people hold dear. They use the poor as a shield to cover their totalitarian aim. And if they dominate, Venezuela is my grandchildren's future. And if there's anybody on the radio or anybody here that doesn't like that, come and get me. Kevin, I don't know where our other officers are today. I'm sure they're about something important. I hope you will hear and will carry to them their pastor's deepest gratitude, deepest honor, and deepest respect for all you risk and do for us. Amen.